You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And you can also watch us on the live stream at WGNRadio.com, where we also have all of our shows podcasts. So if there's something you missed, you can go to WGNRadio.com. We're also available on iTunes. And come like us on Facebook, Patty V Show. That's P-A-T-T-I. Thank you so much for getting us over 3,500. We are at, during the next 100, up to 3,600, we are going to pick one lucky winner for an Apt Electronics gift card. Joining me in studio, fresh off the stage at Whip Theater in Edison Park, is Sarah Barnhart with her solo show, This Is the Worst, which I saw during Sketchfest. How long is the show? How long?
50 minutes.
I only saw part of it. Yeah. I have to come see you.
Yes, you do.
Okay, so this weekend, Friday and Saturday, so tomorrow night.
Uh-huh.
And what time is the show?
8 o'clock.
It's at 8 o'clock. And then next Friday and Saturday?
At 8 o'clock.
All right. So, and if you're not familiar with Edison Park, anyone who's ever been to the, let's say, the Pickwick Theater, you're only about like a mile from where the Whip Theater is. It's kind of like in a cool little area where there's a lot of great restaurants and bars. And it's this beautiful little comedy venue that's tucked in there.
Drove past it Thursday evening when we went over to Tony's Italian Deli.
There you go. Tony's Italian Deli's over by there.
Yeah,
are you
over by
drive
there.
Drive past it tomorrow mm-hmm. or next Friday or so.
Yeah, you should go.
And maybe stop.
Yeah, well, don't even keep driving. You should.
I work like 48 hours in the next 24, so it's.
He's gonna be here. He's gonna be here a lot.
Are you gonna be there? Past this weekend.
Next weekend.
Okay.
And then I will be taking it to another theater the 3 weekends after that.
There you go.
Wow, this is busy.
She is. This is everyone's chance to see her in Edison Park. So let's pick a number between 1 and 10, Sarah.
I'm going to go with 7, Patty.
7. So caller number 7. We have a pair of tickets?
Yeah.
To This Is the Worst at the Whip Theater in Edison Park. So 312-981-7200. Give us a call. And we have a free pair of tickets for you to come see this show. 312-981-7200. And if you're wondering about the neighborhood, you're like, how do I get there? You can get off the Kennedy over at Harlem Avenue. Take Harlem to Northwest Highway to the Whip Theater. It's at the 6800 block?
I believe it's 6670 is the address.
6670.
I could be wrong. But I think that's right.
It's really wrong that I know pretty approximately the address because I grew up at 6133. My husband's going to hate that I said that. 6133 Northwest Highway. On Northwest Highway.
Wow.
I grew up above a bank.
I love
Edison Park. I've always wished that Norwood Park, that we have a similar sort of couple of blocks that are similar in the architecture and the neighborhood, but it just never got a lot of restaurants and bars the way Edison Park has. And they're trying. They have some cool restaurants there.
It seems like a nice little place. I've only been outside there for a total of 10 minutes
mm-hmm.
now.
Right.
Today was my first time going.
Right.
It is a cool
it's a
neighborhood.
Really cool neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's the St. Juliana's Parish,
yeah.
I believe, is the school where a lot of the kids in the neighborhood go. I think it's Edison Park grade school. Ebinger would be the grade school in the neighborhood. I just know way too much about this neighborhood. But it's a really cool, cute little neighborhood. So if you don't live in the neighborhood or in the area, it'd be a fun way to get to know an over-by-there situation. So you can go to the Whip Theater.
Yeah, it's supposed to be kind of a nice day tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So you can make a little day trip out of it.
Day trip.
Go on vacation to Edison Park.
There's some cute little stores over there. There's a nice wine shop on the block. Yeah, go a little bit early. Check out the couple blocks where I've hung out.
There
I don't know. If, that's not why you have to go. Actually, one of my favorite boutiques is a few blocks south of there at the 6100 block called Pearl 2 Gallery. And gosh, what's the one across the street too? There's a really cute shop across the street. But Pearl 2 Gallery's got some really cute and handmade jewelry and women's clothes and a lot of accessories.
So people could go. They could find something. They could send you fanned jewelry.
Exactly.
Not fanned. Fan. There's no D.
My husband, actually, this necklace that I'm wearing is from Pearl 2 Gallery. My husband gave it to me for Valentine's Day.
It's very beautiful.
Well, thank you very much.
I like it. Good job, husband.
How would you describe your show? Because I've seen it. It's very funny. It seems like it's elements of your life that you kind of blow up, but is familiar to everybody else.
So actually, I had a friend come see it, and he described it in a way that I have stolen from him, and I use it to describe the show. So he described it as a live-action one-person Looney Tunes.
Nice. I like
and
that.
It's pretty spot on. There are some moments that are very straight from Looney Tunes.
Is it really? Even the soundtrack?
Those parts were not in the version that you saw. So.
Oh, really? The parts that are the linear tunier?
Linear tunier. So I think maybe I talked about this with you before, but back a few years ago, a friend told me that when I was dating and trying to talk to men, that I was like Wile E. Coyote trying to catch a roadrunner.
That element I do remember from your show.
Yeah, he was like, why can't you just go up and talk to them?
What do you do that is Wile E. Coyote-ish? Do you drop an anvil on them?
I tried that once.
To what effect?
Didn't work out so well.
Does he just mean that you were inept in doing it? I don't mean that mean.
No,
I mean that mean.
No.
That's what Wile E. Coyote is. He is inept in catching the roadrunner.
Well,
that is the right.
And I was.
Yeah, see?
Yes.
I was, but what he was saying is I set
it's so
traps.
You're just so direct.
Oh, well, you know.
No, that's accurate, apparently.
I don't know if that's what. I didn't know she was actually throwing anvils on people. I was going for the
I'm
abstract.
Not offended.
Yes.
Good.
I am not offended at all.
Did you like paint? Did you like try painting a wall that was like a tunnel? It looked like
Ooh,
a tunnel.
I should have that in there.
Just walks right into it. It's actually, I don't know what else it would be. So you have you've struggled with trying to date men and lure them and trap them.
Well, yeah, but
yes.
But
who hasn't?
Mm-hmm. Right. But so it's not all about dating. It's
no.
It's lots of life frustrations that we often find ourselves saying, this is the worst, like folding a fitted sheet.
So brilliant.
And if you listen, people say this is the worst all the time. My best friend, Bryn, actually used to say it a lot. Still does. This is the worst. Or this is the best. And so I hear people say that all the time. And so I figured, why don't I title my show this? Because then when they say it, they'll think of my show. And it's worked.
It has worked very well.
Do a lot of people come up after the show and tell you that that was not the worst? Do they object to the title because you actually did entertain them? It was not the worst.
The best.
I have had a few people say that.
Nice.
Yes, as they should. Yeah, you had a sold-out show at the Sketchfest.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was very fun. So the fitted sheet thing, have you, in your adventures of creating this segment of your show, have you actually mastered the art of folding a fitted sheet?
So ironically, I already knew how to fold a fitted sheet.
I don't like you anymore.
Really well.
Really?
I'm pretty doggone good at it. My mom taught me. And
is it the way you have that? So you have a voiceover. You have someone giving you the instructions. You're,
right. You
know, in this sort of abstract, fun, surreal, cartoonish atmosphere of part of your show. You have you telling you how to do it.
Yeah. So the whole scene in itself was inspired because I love the goofy cartoons where he's learning how to drive or learning how to play baseball. And he can never do it right.
Right.
And so all I knew was I wanted to do something like that. I wanted something that's difficult to do, something that could be very physical.
Oh, so physical. Craig, the instructions are slide down the side, and she takes her body and somehow has her leg and her arm. She's standing on one foot and slides down the side of the sheet, which just seems physically impossible. When she slides down it like it's a fireman's pole. It's very surreal. You did.
I get inside of it, actually, like
she
right
does.
On
she...
my hand with Sharpie, which is still there right now.
She does.
Tonight.
Wow.
Corner one, corner two. She does.
I took a nap before coming here, and I think it's gone, but I woke up with a backwards two on my feet.
By the way, naps before pretty
was
late
there,
is
was there
encouraged.
A lot of practicing with the fitted sheet beforehand?
Oh, yeah. It took a while to get that in order to...
The exact right.
Poorly fold a fitted sheet
in
a good way. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Right, because, you know, that's actually the brilliance of it, to know how to do something so well that you can look inept. It's actually better to be wildly skilled at something and then look like you're a moron doing it, right? Because you're deconstructing your ability because you actually know how to do it very well.
Brought to us by the word inept.
It is officially brought to us by the word inept. Inept is the word of the night.
The word of the night is inept.
Yep.
And apparently...
Right? That's what they do.
312-981-7200. Tell us what the word of the show is, and you can win a pair of tickets to see This Is the Worst at Whip Theater. 312-981-7200. More after this on 720 WGS. Get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune News. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I am joined by performer, writer, actress, and dancer, Sarah Barnhart, who is performing her solo show, This Is the Worst, at the Whip Theater in Edison Park on Northwest Highway. Northwest Highway, and I want to say like Oconto or something. I'm not sure what they're in the O Streets at Edison Park. It's a long story. But we have some tickets to give away. We've already given away one set of tickets. And right now, to win another pair of tickets, you have to tell me, Wayne, what is the word of the show tonight?
Inept.
Inept! Woo-hoo! Congratulations, woo-hoo! You've won tickets
ironically,
to see.
All right.
Ironically, you are not inept.
Yes.
Yeah, you are the opposite.
Oh. You're not inept. You listened to the show, and 30 seconds after we say what the word of the show was, you were able to name the word. We appreciate that.
I know, amazing, huh?
It was amazing. Do you know where Edison Park is?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I grew up a little bit east of there.
Excellent. Where did you grow up?
St. Margaret Mary's, Tui and Western.
Tui and Western. Oh, there you
go. That's my hood.
Look at that. See?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's still my hood.
Right by awesome. the Ridge YMCA over there, right?
The High Ridge Y.
Oh, yeah, the High Ridge Y. Yeah, yeah. Yep, absolutely.
A lot of great swimmers came out of that YMCA. Very jealous of their swim program.
A friend of mine owns McKellen's right there, Tui in California.
Oh, yeah. The bar, yeah, right on the corner.
See?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, hey,
yep.
Colin, we'll do your neighborhood next. All right, Wayne, hold on the line, and we'll get your information and get your tickets at Will Call at the Whip Theater in Edison Park, and that's going to be shows Saturday at 8 o'clock this weekend and Friday and Saturday next week at 8 o'clock as well for This Is the Worst. Wonderful show that Sarah has created. You worked with Tim Zosko.
I did.
And he's very talented.
Person.
Yeah, I'm going to work with him, I hope, on my show as well. I haven't decided what the title of mine is, but... I want to do different things. I can't aspire to do what you've done. There's like I've never been good at taking elements and sort of making them, whether it's abstract or sort of blowing them up the way you have. And I really enjoy that.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really beautifully done. We're going to talk to Craig in a moment about something surreal that happened to him that I've never in my life heard of happening. When you bank, do you go to a teller? Do you use an ATM? Do you do it online? What's your banking style of preference?
Of preference, honestly,
yes.
Going to a teller.
Right?
However, my bank is still a North Carolina bank, so I do ATM or online.
Oh. See, and online I do some of that too, because I'll pay like my, I got to pay my credit cards. It's the 20th. Yeah, I'll do some of like a lot of my credit card payments. I'll do it that way. I'll check my balance on my phone. But I used to work at a Citibank. My job years ago was they hired actresses and actors to stand in the lobby of Citibanks and invite them over to take a photo to put on their credit cards. Right.
So they hired actors specifically
to talk to strangers,
yeah.
Right? You know, like, they do that.
Yeah.
Kind of like and it was, I can't remember what agency I was with, but I had to stand and I got paid as like, it was at the time was kind of crazy. It was like $12 an hour, which, you know, I think it was the late 90s and it was just fun, but people did not want their pictures on their credit cards. And I thought, well, this is a way to protect you from theft, right? Like if someone steals your credit card. And the photo was on the front. It went away. Nobody wanted to do it. No one wanted their photo on their credit card.
Well, and at that time, we didn't have like, you couldn't take like 20 photos. Mm-hmm. Now, if you take the absolutely right one, you get one that looks nice, maybe people would want to do it more.
Maybe a selfie,
yeah.
Take their own picture.
Do the claw.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, is it more vain that they didn't want their photo on
no,
there?
No. And I would have different reasons depending, like some people didn't want, they said they've already got too much of my information. So your photo is, I mean, like actually your photo protects you more than some of the other safeguards that you have. Because
no,
if you hand over your card, like I write see photo ID on my credit card.
I do the same thing. Mm-hmm. My mom taught me well.
And I say, and it says please with a smiley face.
No one ever asks for my ID though.
Oh.
Do they ask you guys for your, all the time?
I can ask for it all the time. Even at Bruno's Pizza in the Merchandise Mart.
And they should, as they should. But Craig, you had an experience that blows my mind.
Yeah,
at an ATM.
My mind.
I don't use ATMs.
So
ever.
On the way home from the show last night, I stopped by the Fifth Third Bank near that Jewel in Andersonville. I'm gonna call them out of which one it is.
Okay.
Because
maybe someone else had this.
Yeah,
happen.
Maybe someone else had this happen. And I put my card in and I typed in my little stuff and then I asked for money back and instead of getting money, I got stamps.
Stamps.
And I got the right booklets, the right amount of booklets of stamps that would have been like cash. For each $20 bill I asked for, I got one set of stamps.
Like stamps That's, for postage stamps,
yeah.
for
yeah,
mailing
and then
letters.
My account got reduced by the amount of money I asked for.
And how did that happen?
I don't know. I didn't know that was a thing that could happen. And so I freaked out and I called and like they're fixing it. So thank you for fixing that. But it was a
But
surreal.
Not immediate. It was not immediate. You had to yeah. go through several different yes. people
so
in
now,
customer service.
Now I do regret calling out the brand. But yes, I did have to call customer service people. And some people weren't even familiar that this was a thing. Like some of the people I called were like, that can't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can. Yes,
and,
it does.
And then you found out later, not only can it happen, but some of the people in the department were aware that it had happened
so
to other people.
Everyone I had reached on the phone reacted when I actually got past like the first person to answer the phone, mm-hmm. reacted knowingly. And the first person that I talked to actually said, oh, yeah, we had a report about this yesterday. So mm-hmm. it'd been like a day or two of if anyone, 312-981-7200, use the Fifth Third Bank near the Jewel in Andersonville off of Clark Street, and you got stamps. I wanna know what happened.
Yeah, because you could not have surprised me more if I gotten confetti.
Right.
Right? Like if I was standing
that
there.
Could have been anything. Yeah.
It could
right.
have been anything. I'm like, well, how are postage stamps in
so
the
what,
Yes.
I
yes.
mean, I'm interrupting.
You gotta know.
Pardon the interruption.
What was your thought when this comes out?
So you can't leave. There were two people behind me, but I was like, I can't drive away from this ATM because I asked for dollars and stamps came out. So like I didn't know what to do. So I held the stuff up near the little camera that I saw. So like it's documented. Look at me. And then I tried to do the transaction again just to get a receipt, but not get stamps. So I don't know. It was crazy. It was an insane kind of thing. That happened. And then, yeah, I drove up and I parked and I called people and it took hours.
So are they doing some type of hidden camera thing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably all a joke. Yeah, this is a hilarious.
You feel like you're being punked?
Right.
That you're being punked? Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was some kind of experience.
Do you think
at some point right now-ish, the money should be going back into my account. So I've been checking feverishly.
Is it possible that somebody in the bank, I mean, like, you can't steal the money and go, I'll just put stamps in there because they're going to know who was responsible for filling the ATM machine.
Yeah, I feel like
because it's like in a, I mean, I'm trying to imagine the inside of an ATM machine and how they slot the dollar, the bills in there, the 20s and stuff.
Everyone I talked to, too, said that I was unlucky in the fact that I went at a time when the bank wasn't open. Because if I had just gone
Why else would
the
you
bank,
use an ATM machine?
I don't know. Apparently, mostly. If I had just walked into the bank and been like, you guys gave me stamps and not dollars, they would just give me 20s for the stamps that I got.
That's
like, that's
so
just
weird.
Something they can do.
It's the strangest thing. Do you ever go to a teller or do you always go to an ATM?
Yeah. Tellers, I don't know. I just like putting my card in and getting the money out.
Yeah.
Not stamps. I don't like it when stamps come out.
I only go to tellers. I'll do the drive-thru, but it's still the teller. And plus, they know me. They
you
ask
the
me
drive,
how the boys are.
You do the drive-thru and you just...
With
yeah.
the tube? With the...
That's the one I hate the most.
Why?
I mean, I like the tube. I like the shooty tube, but I never have anything to shoot.
I always imagine that tube. I shrink and ride in that tube.
Oh, that'd be
like
great.
Augustus Gloop.
Right.
In Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka.
Or Ant-Man in anything that he could do that.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Well, then he ends up in the sewer and like in the
yeah,
water. And it's
you're right.
Disgusting.
That's not
it's
as not pleasant.
Great. It's not a great thing.
That's sanitary.
Right. No. I would just want to keep doing the tube back and forth.
By the way, is Ant-Man, is he with Cap or is he with Iron Man?
He will be in the Captain America movie. And then I believe he will also be in the
He joins Cap.
Thor
because
Hulk
he's
movie.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Go Paul Rudd. Go Paul Rudd. You know what?
Paul Rudd's
probably...
likable. Yeah, he's a likable
really
man. Likable man. Oh, we got to do news or something, right?
Roger Badish has... No, we're
keep
having so much
keep
fun.
Going.
Right,
yeah, I know. It's fun.
You did a great job with What's in the Box tonight. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
Much for those.
Oh,
I'm sorry it took
so
us so
many
long.
More. No, that's
I'm
all right.
I'm glad to hear that. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I've been telling Sarah Barnhart some stories, a little bit of background information about this show, but also I was struck by a story that I saw on Facebook. One of my, a fan of mine, and someone who's become a Facebook friend named Jessica, posted the story in the middle of the night, and it's an essay by a woman who had been in an emotionally abusive relationship. And we've talked a little bit about this on the show before, and I know one of our listeners asked me to name him. Even though I do talk about Tom Daniels, it's not Tom Daniels. I would not put this guy's name out there because, you know, I don't. Well, I guess I mean, I don't. I just it's so painful to me that I don't even want to stir things up with people. But he used to work at the Improv in Chicago, and I was only 21 years old. He was 7 years older than me, and we started dating. And he became very controlling. And he would call me a child. He would yell at me about you know that I was ignorant and I was an idiot. We ended up moving in together, and I remember I was supposed to pick him up one day at Belmont and Halsted. This is before we all had cell phones. And I was like 10, 15, 20 minutes late, something like that. And I got to the intersection and I didn't find him. I like got out of the car. I walked around trying to see if he was in a couple of restaurants, and he wasn't there. And I got home and he had his feet up on a table smoking a cigarette. Tom smoked. It's not Tom Daniels. It's a different guy. And he just started hissing at me. You are such a child. He goes, I can't trust you to do anything. And just sort of like, just as slow.
Gosh.
I know. He goes, I can't believe, he goes, well, you're so immature. You don't know how to be responsible for anything. And I was just like, you know, I felt really, and I became apologetic. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to be late. I got stuck in traffic. I mean, Belmont and Halsted is a really densely populated area. And it was just hard to get to. I'm like, I'm getting the sweats just thinking about all the times I would come home and he'd be waiting for me to tell me like how stupid I was, or was I sleeping with somebody else? He accused me of sleeping with another comic. I came home one night and he was sitting in the dark. All the lights were out. He was just sitting in the dark waiting for me, and all you could see was the cigarette burning in the dark. Mm. And he asked me how was it effing Mike Burton, this other comic I was working with. And I remember the way he would talk to me, I was like, oh my, what, you know, it felt wrong, but at the same time, like, he wasn't doing anything. Like, he wasn't hitting me. He was just saying things to me that just, he was accusing me, calling me stupid. And then Mike Burton actually was on stage at the Improv. Tom was the sound guy, and we were all auditioning for CBS. And he didn't do anything during my set. He turned off Mike Burton's microphone in the middle of his set. So, like, people started to know that it was because he was jealous, and like none of the comics wanted to have anything to do with me. I started to get isolated from other comics. This is what abusers do, by the way. They isolate you. They cut you off from your friends, your family. I had friends who didn't like him. They didn't trust him. So rather than saying anything to me, and sometimes when you talk to somebody and say, you know, I don't like the way he talks to you. I don't like the way he treats you. That victim is like, no, but you know, they get mad at you.
Right.
And your friends, yeah, they get defensive because they also don't like having made a mistake. Right, because they feel like they're in love with them. And that was kind of, and then he would start throwing me out. He would tell me to pack my stuff and get out. So I would start packing my things, and he would start crying and tell me that because he loved me so much, I made him act that way. I made him crazy. And that's why he behaved that way. So he threw me out three times, and mostly it would be because he thought I was sleeping with somebody else, or just that I was ignorant, and he couldn't stand to look at me anymore, and I should just get out. And Craig, I don't think, have I ever mentioned like the night that I actually went, well, this is crazy, I have to go now.
I don't think I've familiar with this story, the night, but I feel like it hasn't happened on air.
My dog's name was Pepper. And a really cute little schnoodle, half schnauzer, half poodle. And I went home to visit my dad. My mom was traveling, and I was like, I'm going to go hang out with my dad and my dog, Pepper. And I got home really late. I'm a late night person. My dad and I used to stay up watching late movies and stuff and just talking. And I got home like maybe 3-4 in the morning, and Tom goes, so how was your little doggy? And I was like, Are you accusing me of something else? And he's like, yeah, you were not at your dad. You were not hanging out with your dad and your little doggy until 4 a.m. And I thought, well, this is just crazy. I mean, like, I know where I was. I was hanging out with my dog and my dad. Pepper was like 18 years old. So I used to go spend as much time as I could with her. And I was like, you're nuts. I was like, you are out of your mind. There was nothing going on. Cause that's the thing too, is that when you know, it's maddening, you know, you haven't done anything wrong.
Right.
And this person is telling you that you are misbehaving, that you are making them crazy, that you're making them be mean to you. It was basically what he would say to me. So I said, you know what? I'm leaving, but I'm going to sleep first. And he wouldn't let me into our bedroom. So I was like, that's fine. I don't want to sleep with you tonight. So I was laying on the couch. Craigie stood over me for hours. I don't know why I laid there. I could have just gotten in my car, but I had cats, and I didn't want to leave my cats behind. And I didn't know if I could bring them to my parents' house or where I was going to go with Cagney and Shoeless. And he stood over me telling me I was never going to find love, that
Holy
I was delusional.
God.
And I was laying there thinking, like, any side of, like, just, you know, if my confidence got shook, if I was like, maybe he's right, maybe he's the only person who's going to love me. I was 21. I was 22 years old or whatever. I dropped out of grad school to become a stand-up comic. I had put my entire life on the line. I left a very, you know, safe, stable environment, and here was someone telling me that I was never going to find love, that I wasn't worthy of love, that I was lucky to have him in my life. He one time threatened to bring home other women because I had stopped.
He also sits in the dark smoking cigarettes, stands over you while you're asleep.
Creepy.
He is the creepiest. By the way, from the 224, Your story of your relationship that was emotionally abusive sounds like a relationship I'm in right now.
Oh.
Yeah. So the kind of, and part of the point you've said on the show before is to make people feel like they're not alone and maybe help them in a bad time. 224.
Yes, no. Please. If there's something we can do, if you want us to grab your information, if you want any advice, I know it's so hard because your friends do stop talking to you because they don't like the person that you're with. And this goes for men or women. Women can be abusive and make you feel like you're... And there is a thing where someone will ask, well, how can they make you feel that way? Because you love them or you think that you love them. And this great essay that I posted on my Facebook page, and I'll share it on our Patty V show. The last thing she writes is that she stayed because she thought she loved him until she realized she loved herself more. You have to realize that you love yourself more and that you don't deserve that. No one deserves to be told that they're worthless, that they are stupid, that they are cheating, especially when you know your reality and someone refuses to accept what you know in your heart, that you haven't done anything wrong, that you are not a bad person, and you know that you are worthy. And they keep telling you, though, and you just keep, you start feeling small and you feel isolated, you feel alone. And it's scary, too, if you're living with somebody, because now you're also depending on them. You've put a security deposit and like all the stupid small reasons. My cats. I stayed an extra month because of Cagney and Shoeless.
Well, and sometimes, too, obviously the relationship didn't start there. That's something that developed as you went. Sometimes it's hard to,
yes,
to realize when something new is entering into a relationship that this is an actual thing. This is actually a part of the new kind of dynamic, and it needs to be fixed or you need to remove yourself because of it. Sometimes it's hard to, yep, see that when you remember the past few months and they were better.
Well, this, or your years. Like this woman said it was a year. What were you,
yeah,
say, Sarah?
Well, yeah, and then you find yourself thinking, you remember back to the good times and you find yourself thinking, oh, it's this was just a fluke. It'll go back to the good times. Or, yeah, that's what,
yeah,
I'm,
because, and they do. The thing is that there can be huge gaps of time where everything is fine, and then it happens months later or a year,
yeah,
later,
right?
And then, you know, and then you're like, well, but I stayed and I put my time in.
I mean,
and I've given you so much of myself.
Someone attempting to be in control would know that you can't always be one way. I've heard it a lot, and actually, I experienced it through a close family relationship too. That sometimes they do. They break and they act very sweet and very nice, but that's just to reinforce
the control.
The control aspect, yeah. So it's hard to determine what's, you know.
Yeah, what I was drawn to, and the reason it was so good at first was like he made me feel like, I mean, and again, made me, right? Or I let him feel. I don't know what the right language is for it, because I just remember thinking, I just feel so powerful. He made me feel sexy and beautiful and intelligent. He made me feel like I was smart and I was like the most captivating person. Like he held me up on his pedestal until he told me I was the sexiest woman he'd ever been with. And I was young and I thought, wow, I mean, like this is a guy who, you know, has been to New York, he's traveled the world and been in the theater and done all these amazing things, and he thinks that I'm amazing, and I was drawn to that, and we would, you know, and I remember we traveled, we drove in a car from here to Boston. He had property in Maine, and there were little things he would say, like he didn't like my dad because he was like, you know, the world will be a better place when people like your dad are gone. Like he said, I know. And that was one of the, because my dad was old. It was old Chicago. Like my dad, we talked about him before. Like my dad was part of the machine of Chicago. He knew like the right people and how to grease the wheels and get out of a ticket, or he knew the right politicians or the right lawyers. And he would tell me like how crooked my dad was. And then he told me about his grandfather owning this property in Maine and how his grandfather had taken advantage of all these poor people during the Great Depression and had gotten this property by basically buying it for cents on the dollar. And I was like, how do you figure that? And he was so proud of this cottage in Maine. And I thought, how do you figure that that's, you know, we all have something in our family that is, you know, maybe untoward or, you know, our skeletons, but that's something you're proud of. And my dad should die, you know, it was one of those illogical things. And that was like one of the first threads. And that I remember thinking, this guy just told me the world would be a better place without my dad. Mm-hmm. And that sort of shook me.
Yeah.
And we had just signed a lease on an apartment, and so we were driving to Boston on our way to Maine, and he wouldn't turn the air conditioning on. I can't remember what it was, something like, you know, it wasn't good for the environment. It was really hot. It was the middle of summer, and I was sweating the whole, like, and I had the window down. I was just trying to cool off, and he refused to turn the air. It was like a weird control thing. Like I wasn't going to be comfortable. Because of the whatever it was, we weren't going to turn the air on.
By the way, from the 630 yet again, listening to you describe this story reminds me of my own story. Wow, it's creepy to hear someone else say things like this. So
yeah,
there's a lot of people out there.
It is abuse. It is abuse to feel, to have someone tell you you're not worthy, to have someone tell you that you're stupid, to isolate you, to break you off from the what you know to be yourself. You have to love yourself more than that person.
A friend and I were actually not in quite in this sense, but we were talking about this tonight. Like, you are your number one.
Yes.
And even if you are in a relationship where you, it, a great relationship, you're still your number one. You're the person you have to look out for in any situation.
Yeah.
And I can't relate personally.
And you don't have to. And you have friends, but be aware for your friends and be there.
But I do have friends that I can relate on their behalf.
And you have no idea. I didn't know how good of friends I had because when I decided to leave, he came to where I worked and threatened to kill me and kill himself. And that's where I had to have friends step in, and I had to get the authorities involved. And I didn't know how much danger I was in until that day. More after this on 720 WGN.